There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest, 100% organic cotton bedding from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with airy blankets, cloud-like duvets, and breathable sheets. You'll experience pure comfort on night one and feel your bedding get softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com with code ODYSSEY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Good morning. Welcome in. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a Tuesday morning. Thanks so much for being with us. Good morning to you, Randy. How are you? Nice, long, fun football field weekend.
What's happening,
hopefully,
man?
Hopefully inside.
What's happening, man? Yeah, dog. It was brick all weekend, man. But it was a lot of good ball. And obviously, we'll get to all of that. The big one was what happened here last night. Congratulations to Ryan Day and Ohio State. Just a big-time win for them. Great game. Turned out to be good. I thought it was about to get ugly.
Yeah, that game was that close to being just terrible.
But, yeah, give Marcus Freeman and his team a lot of credit. They kept battling back and things like that. They made plays in the passing game. Ohio State's usually a really good tackling team, but, you know, give credit to what they did offensively, talking about Notre Dame. But, yeah, Ohio State, I mean, you know, coming to the season, they were the favorites. Mm-hmm. And they had some lulls and everything. The Michigan loss was huge and everything like that. But they took them that week off from the Big Ten championship and got themselves right. Got themselves right mentally, physically. And at the end of the day, they had the best players. They had the best roster. And the best roster won the game. And
yep.
So, yeah, congratulations to him. You won't hear any more. Well, I can't say that because I'm not a Ohio State Michigan fan. So I don't know if he loses again to Michigan, what will happen. But I would think that this would get him some kind of leeway.
You'd think.
But you look at his face. I loved the celebration with him and his players after, because you can just see that monkey and everything that he's been through this last month or so. Just went away with just that one big win that he had last night here in Atlanta.
Yeah, no, you could. You could see the relief on his face, understandably, because, you know, it was a crazy 6 weeks.
Yeah.
He had the Virginia basketball Tony Bennett story in a month and a half. Remember that?
Yeah.
They lost to a 16 seed.
They damn sure did.
And everyone wanted to fire him. And they came back the next year and won the national championship. Yep. They lost to Michigan in November,
mm-hmm.
or December, early December. And then they came back and won the national championship that same season. I can't remember an extreme like that in a season ever. Like, I don't remember there ever being a situation where, like, that dude was getting fired.
Yes.
If this was a four-team playoff, they wouldn't have been in it,
right.
And he probably would have been fired,
right.
Which would have been a huge mistake. Like, I think it would have been a big mistake.
I think he's a very good football coach. He's one of those guys that would have happened, he would have had a job right away.
Absolutely.
You know, but we understand that, you know, that rivalry and what it means, because coaches have lost their job from both schools because they couldn't beat the other one. So, him going out and winning that championship, man, and just the leadership that they had, 33. I mean, dude is the ultimate leader, man. And I thought you go back to the whole planting of the flag and him ripping it away and everything like that. And I'm sure that he was a catalyst as far as, you know, getting his team ready. He's the leader of that football team. But at the end of the day, they had the best players. And then you think about coming back next year, they're going to be just as damn good as they were this past year. I mean, you're going to have probably the best two players, offensive, defensive players in the country next
probably.
Year on your team.
Yeah,
you know, and then they're going to add to that also. So, I mean, they're loaded. They're an elite football team, but they always been that way. Ohio State's been an elite team. They just haven't gotten it done in 10 years. And they won the first 12-team playoffs. They won the first 4-team playoff.
Yeah.
And so now, you know, they're riding high.
Yeah. I mean, look, they're Ohio State.
They're Ohio State.
They hadn't won one since 2014, which isn't that long, by the way.
Yes. But they've been there.
Of course. They've been in the mix the entire time. And the difference is they're just slightly more elite than they have been. Like, the thing about this Ohio State team versus the ones that haven't quite gotten over the top over the last 5 years is – those teams were really good. This team literally has the most NFL players on
Yes.
it. And that's true of all five of the last national champions.
Yes.
Michigan last year had the most guys drafted.
Yes.
Georgia the 2 years before that had the most guys drafted. This Ohio State team's probably going to break Georgia's record from a couple years ago and have 16 guys drafted if you look at some of the draft projections.
Right.
I mean, that's what it is. Like, as much as things change, things stay the same. And
players.
Ohio State, exactly, players, period. And we'll get to that in a minute with some of the reaction that folks have had with the Falcons making their defensive coordinator hire. Anyway, we'll get to that. Players are the ones that matter the most. But, yeah, Ohio State's got all the guys that are going to play in the league, and some of these guys aren't even eligible to go yet.
This
They're
is
the
crazy.
Best guys on the team.
Yeah, man.
They're perfectly fitting that the play that iced things away was the play to Jeremiah Smith down the field. And, look, I mean, I think Notre Dame played it right. Like, you
got
to sell out.
You got to
try
go,
to get home.
You got to go zero.
I know you single covered the man, and did you even really cover him?
No. But you look at it, you know, if you're you know it's zero blitz, and you're the corner, right? There's only two routes that you could run to get the ball over zero blitz. It's a one-step slant or a nine route. And Jeremiah stemmed it. And his inside stem made that quarterback flip his hips too fast. Mm-hmm. And he just ran a perfect damn throw from
perfect,
Will Howard.
Perfect
throw and everything like that. Because Notre Dame, and we talked about it on Friday, you know, Notre Dame trying to get the game to a one-score game in the fourth quarter. They battled back and they had it. And, you know, Marcus Freeman, his decision to go for the field goal instead, I'm not mad at that.
I don't understand it.
Yeah, because you don't.
Why would you do it?
Why?
Yeah, it was a two-score game, and if they make it, it's a two-score game.
Yeah, because it's more or less you don't have to get two-point
conversions. Right.
And I think that was the more thing that he was looking at.
But it was like 7 minutes left.
I understand. It was nine.
Was it nine minutes left?
Yeah, 9:54 or something like that.
It's just, to me, it's hard to imagine I'm going to get the ball back twice.
And that's one thing. He had that belief, and they did. You know,
my thought was, if you're doing that and it sucks because it backfired,
right?
Almost like that part of it, sure. Like, I don't know if we're gonna be able to get 2 2-point conversions. That's kind of a long shot. But it's almost like, all right, this drive was all right. It was pretty. Let's end it with something positive,
right?
So we can keep the momentum.
Yes,
because we
that
scored and then
yes.
we got this drive. Like, if you go for it on fourth down there and you don't get it,
because that was after a turnover.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's right after they forced that turnover, which is exactly what they needed in order to have some life in the game. Like, if you go for it on fourth down there and Ohio State stops you, it just feels like all your momentum dies.
Makes
down.
It. Yeah, it does.
You
does,
missed the damn field goal, so all your momentum died anyway.
Yeah.
So obviously that wasn't in the cards. You weren't planning on that, but he missed it. I was just like, I mean, I guess, but like, I was, if you're going to win this game, you're going to have to pick up a fourth down. You're going to have to score.
Yeah.
You're going to have to get 2-point conversion. You dug yourself a 31-7 hole. You got to get it.
Yeah, it was fourth and nine.
Field goals aren't winning.
But I mean,
this game.
I think the biggest thing that they had was. That first drive, man, I'm talking about, you want to talk about a perfectly executed underdog drive is what Notre Dame came out and did. It was brilliant. But the one thing that it did, it wore your quarterback ass out.
It was brilliant. It was completely unsustainable.
And he was already throwing up.
He was cooked.
Yeah, he was done.
He didn't recover until the third quarter.
Yes, and he was done.
Yeah.
You know, and but that was going to have to be the game plan. He was going to have to run the football, but they ran the hell out of him in the first drive. And, you know, he's a big kid, but you're talking about running into the teeth of the defense. It wasn't no quarterback sweeps or no read option. It was a quarterback dive, quarterback count, inside counter.
Man had 17 carries on the night, which, by the way, was the most on the team by 13.
Yes.
Because Jeremiah Love just wasn't available, like, wasn't healthy.
I just didn't understand that. I mean, did he have a setback or something?
He must have.
He must have had a setback.
Or maybe one of the He had four carries. One of them maybe got hurt on it.
Something like that, because I just thought that he was going to be a little bit more healthier than he was in the Penn State game.
Yeah.
At least have the brace on or something.
Right. I thought so, too.
And I saw him in pregame. He didn't have the brace on in pregame. And so I'm thinking you're going to get a big dose of him. But
he must have got popped on one of those carries.
It had to be something, because you were not going to run Riley Leonard like that all game and think that he was not going to feel it.
He had 9 carries on the first drive.
Yes. And he was
can't do it.
His tongue was hanging out of his mouth, Bunk.
Yeah,
he was so damn tired.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like,
I bet he was. And then again, like, they didn't do a damn. They got 28 yards for the rest of the first half.
Yeah.
After that 75-yard drive, touchdown, great, awesome, everything they wanted. Riley Leonard, smash mouth, all that. And the problem was, Ohio State then scored on every possession they had for the next 5 possessions.
Yep. And like, Chip Kelly was in his bag, man.
Dang it.
I mean,
they didn't count on that part.
First touchdown with a little fake reverse back to Jeremiah Smith. I mean, obviously, Junkins was great in the football game. They were able to run the football. But, yeah, I just, you know, at the end of the day, Ohio State is the best team in college football.
Yep.
And the most talented team in college football.
Yeah, they're both.
And so it was going to be Like, I'm not surprised that they won this damn championship because they were just that good. And I think that when you go back and look at it, this is probably the best team. Oh, I hate doing a best team of all time there, whatever, because that team with Zeke then was loaded.
Yeah. But it's funny because if they don't lose that Michigan game, obviously the storyline is different anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But if they don't lose that Michigan game, I think a lot of people are more comfortable saying they're one of the best champions we've seen.
Yes.
But they did.
Yep.
So
they did.
You got two losses. You're not really going to be considered one of the great champions of all time when you have two losses.
Yeah, and they lost at home. And they lost at home to a bad Michigan. I know that, you know, a lot of people are all of a sudden now, well, they did beat Alabama and talking about Michigan beat Alabama. I'm like, so what? You know?
Yeah, come on.
Yeah, so what?
You watched Michigan play this year.
Yeah.
There's no way that Ohio State team should have lost
at home?
To them at home.
Yes, there's no way.
There's no way.
There's no way that should happen.
But it did, and ultimately, and they can say it now, maybe it was the best thing that ever could happen.
It could be. I don't ever believe that losing helps
you
out.
You know what
would
have been better is if they would have beat them.
Yeah, exactly. I don't believe in that. Oh, that's why, you know, they didn't. Well, good thing they didn't win the Big Ten Conference. You think they didn't want to win it?
No.
Come on, man. They want to win the damn big. Now, they'd rather have this right here.
Right. Now that they've done this, all that stuff is easy to say.
Yes.
Here's kind of one of my big picture takeaways from it, though, and this isn't going to change anything, so I'm just going to say it for my own fun. It's an argument for patience. No one wants to be patient ever.
No.
Everyone wants to make everything the worst thing that's ever happened at all times. Fire this guy because he made a mistake. Move on. Turn the page. Whatever. In this world that we live in, but especially because of what we're talking about, the sports landscape, sports media landscape. I mean, if it was up to everyone, including a lot of Ohio State fans, Ryan Day would have been fired.
Yes.
Well, now he's a national champion.
Yes.
And it was 6 weeks ago.
Yes.
Like, it would be, just take a breath. You know what I mean? Just take a breath and think of, like, because he did have a lot of good wins.
He did.
He's a good recruiter.
He did. He is.
There, you know, I know he didn't beat Michigan four times in a row. I get it. But, like, try to keep things in perspective.
But the thing about it is,
man had the third highest winning percentage in the history of college football.
But the thing about it, if that was Penn State, they lost two four times, it wouldn't be nothing.
No, no one would think
about
it.
But it's Michigan.
I know.
And coaches lose their job in this rivalry of both teams because of this game.
But also maybe, and this is never going to happen, so I'm just wasting my breath here, but like maybe we care too much about that kind of stuff.
What do you mean?
It's just a game. Like, it's Michigan, so...
Exactly. We're not in it, though.
It's a state that's close.
But that's the thing about it. We're not in it.
I know.
We're not in it.
I know. I've got my rivals, and obviously I want my team to beat Oregon every single year. We lost them 12 years in a row.
Yeah.
I continued living.
Yeah. Like, obviously that.
You know what I mean?
But what do you always say? What do you always say to me when I ask questions like that? You're rational.
I am being.
Yeah.
I am being.
Yeah. You say this.
I don't know what I'm being
you say,
right now.
You
ridiculous.
Say, you say this to me all the time.
Yeah,
when
everyone's
I ask the same question. Like, really?
Yeah. I know. I'm trying to bring ration.
Is it that serious?
I'm trying to bring. But maybe this will help Ohio State a little bit. Just be like, hey, like maybe we're putting too much emphasis on this Michigan.
They're never having
because we almost fired this guy who won us a national championship because of that, which ultimately didn't stand in our way of winning a national championship. We cared so much about that one thing in this world where everyone tries to talk about how it's just another game and treat every game the same and blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're so not treating that game the same that it's hindering them. Like, it's actively hurting them.
No chance.
No,
you're talking about years of team up north.
Before I started that little diatribe, what I'm saying is nonsense.
Yeah.
And it's for my own personal
And I love watching that. I think it's on Fox. I mean, on HBO Max now. The story of those two, that rivalry, it goes all the way back and everything like that. It's unbelievable the stuff that they don't say and what they say and all the, you know, Schimbeckler going here and all that stuff. It's a fun story, but yeah, that's a different type rivalry right there. But again, I don't see why you would even. I mean, Ryan Day got him. His runway is long. I think.
Yeah. I don't. Who knows?
I think.
I don't know.
I think.
Lose to Michigan again.
Exactly. And they're going to be loaded again. I think Michigan's going to be better than they were this year. They got the young stud quarterback and everything. And obviously, the portal hasn't opened up from the spring portal, so they're going to add good players to that. So, yeah.
I'm just saying, pack a little patience.
Who's going to be the quarterback at Ohio State next year? Because I think Ohio's done, right?
Quinn Ewers.
Probably.
I don't know. He already was there.
I know they got some. They probably got some hot shot.
There's probably
Julian
still,
who?
They're probably still paying Julian him that Sam? Million that they paid him when he went there and didn't do anything. Remember that?
Yeah.
Remember that storyline? Like, Quinn Ewers technically is a former Ohio. No, he's not.
No, he's
not. He never played. All right. This hour is brought to you by Padley. Sell your home for cash fast. PADLYBuys.com. We'll come back. We'll get into what's trending, including the Falcons making a hire at defensive coordinator. So don't go anywhere. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Leonard gets the snap. Back to throw, Riley Leonard. Rolls to his right at his 20. Leonard sails that middle of the field where it's caught by Greathouse. He's tackled at the 40. Tackled by Jordan Hancock, and Ohio State national champions, beating Notre Dame tonight. 34-23, the ninth national championship in Ohio State history.
Damn, is that their home team? Can we get a little bit more excited?
That had to be Notre Dame's call, right?
That was, I mean, that was bland and dry as hell.
I guess he wanted Ryan Day fired. I don't know. If that was the Ohio State home radio call of the national championship victory, then they need to go to the Steve Holman School of Enthusiasm.
Something.
Because you get a little more fired up for the home team than that one. Anyway, that's the final play last night as Ohio State wins the game 34-23. Little late field goal, helpful for some.
Yeah.
I guess hurtful for others, I guess, if you took Notre Dame in the points.
Yeah.
But, man, it looked like Ohio State was going to win that game. It was looking TCU, Georgia-ish at a time during the third quarter. Like, nothing will ever rise to that level.
No.
But, like, it was 31-7, and it looked like that thing was about to be 45-to whatever.
And then
like,
they took their foot off the gas, man.
Completely took their foot off the gas. Credit to Notre Dame for making plays, too. Like, Jaden Greathouse has made more catches down the field in the last couple of games
than he has all year.
Than he should be doing.
Yeah.
Like, no offense to him. Like, nice plays. But, what was Ohio State doing?
Like, the break, that's what I was saying earlier. Like, Ohio State's usually a good tackling team. I mean, he catches a little short route, bam, 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 and house call. The other touchdown, I mean, that's just a hell of a play.
Yeah.
That's just a hell of a throw, hell of a play. You know, but yeah, I thought that, you know, that's what we talked about. They had to get big plays in the passing game. But I think they wore their freaking quarterback down on the first drive. I mean, you're talking about a 17 play over 10 minute drive, you know, and all of it consists of me running into the teeth of the defense, not bootlegging or nothing like that. No, we're going to hike the ball to me. I'm going to take one step so I get let this guard pull.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to go run right into the middle of the defense.
Let me eat this shot from Jack Sawyer, who's going to play in the NFL. Let me eat this shot from Caleb Downs, who's going to play in the NFL.
Yeah.
Like, let me just keep taking. Like, that guy took more hits in that first drive last night against Ohio State than most quarterbacks take in a whole game.
Yeah.
Like, he just got completely punished. And it worked. They scored a touchdown, and that's great. I don't know if it was worth it in the long run because he didn't catch his breath for 2 hours.
Right.
And by the time he did, they were down by 4 scores.
Yep.
But credit to Notre Dame for fight.
They fought.
You know, I mean,
they give
them credit for that.
They
do that. Looked like they were going to get blood off the field, and they didn't. So at least we had something to watch in the second half of that game. And then even more credit to Ohio State. They're national champions, man. They are, and it took them a long time to get here. And this is the benefit of the 12-team playoff.
Definitely. Because they wouldn't be in.
They were playing the best football at the most important time of year, and they're the most talented football team.
Mm-hmm.
That tends to mean national championship.
Yeah.
And that's what it meant for them.
Yeah, I mean, the big thing, the $20 million, we talk about it all the time, but they went and got Junkins and things like that, but their thing was keeping their guys and keeping the good players that were there. And obviously adding Junkins and adding Will Howard and guys like that, obviously Jeremiah Smith coming in as a true freshman, it's going to elevate your roster. And then the guys that's been there for a long time that we talked about, like how Georgia had those guys like Justin, like Jordan Davis, all them playing for multiple years. Their defensive line was there for multiple years.
Yeah.
So them dudes grew together. They played together. And, you know, they hit their stride at the right time. But coming to the season, there was no doubt who was the best dude or the most talented team. Mm-hmm. And the most talented team in college football, it was the Ohio State Buckeyes. And they went out there, like you said, hit their stride at the wrong time. But I just go back to Ryan Day as a leader of this football team and the leaders that he has as far as the guys in the locker room, how they were able to just block out all that noise. And like he said last night, when people asked him about that, he said, just keep swinging. And they kept swinging. And obviously, there was a whole lot of pressure on them when Tennessee comes in there. I thought Tennessee was going to give them a game.
Me too.
The hell out of Tennessee. They beat the hell out of Tennessee.
They did.
And then, you know, you go and then you face a Texas team who is just as talented as you. Maybe not all the way there. Ohio State's at 100. Yeah. Texas is probably at 97.
Probably
maybe.
Not quite there. But Texas is going to have 10 guys drafted, probably.
Yes, and then they go in there, and you foul, and you fight, and things break your way, and obviously you recover a fumble, bam, 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 all that other stuff. And so you're in a situation where you're playing against a lesser talented football team, well-coached, tough as nails, doesn't give up in the Notre Dame Fighting Irish, and yet you got out big, because they're a front-running-ass team. They got out big, and then you kind of slowed it down. It's like, let's go for the jugular.
Yeah.
You know, that was the thing when we talked about when Georgia played TCU. They went for the damn jugular. They were like, let's beat the hell out of them because we can. You know, it wasn't more or less like TCU. No, we can beat the hell out of this team. This team has no business on the football field with us. And that's how Ohio State played it, especially that second quarter.
Yeah.
And then, give credit to Notre Dame, they didn't give up.
Yep.
They fought back and everything like that, made it interesting. Obviously, the big play and then the field goal.
Yep. Yep. They deployed the Will Howard run game, like we talked about last week. It was like Chip Kelly's offense functions best when you have a running threat at quarterback. And I don't know if it was the third touchdown or the fourth touchdown that they scored consecutively. The one where, like, all of the linebackers bit on Will Howard taking a step towards the goal line. Everyone collapsed on him, and then he just flipped it over the top. Literally every defender collapsed on him and just, And that's because he ran the ball for about 50 yards in the first half and just kept them honest. So, I don't know. Shout out to them. Shout out to Chip Kelly for kind of changing the narrative a little bit. Because
you remember, he was the backup plan. Because remember, it was Bill O'Brien, then the Boston College job came open. He leaves there, and then obviously Chip comes in and becomes OC.
Didn't do much all year. We're kind of like, what is this offense?
Yeah.
Like, they have all these tools, and they're so bland. And then there it is. There's the offense. The offense went off in the college ball playoff. They win four games. They're national champs. Congratulations to the Ohio State Buckeyes. All right. The Hawks went to Madison Square Garden yesterday, fresh off of a
very impressive
crazy
win,
Saturday night over the Boston Celtics. I mean, it's funny to say, but it's true. They give the Celtics problems.
Maybe.
Like, they've beat the Celtics so many times over the last 2 years. Mm-hmm. It's insane. And they keep doing it. They did it again on Saturday night. Shout out to all the Hawks folks and everyone over at Veranda and Michelob Ultra. Had a fun time on Saturday night at the Hawks watch party. I had one specific. I even wrote it down because I'm so bad with names. A specific couple that I wanted to shout out. Terrence and Kimberly.
Okay.
Terrence and Kimberly came down. Married for 32 years.
Nice.
Big listeners to the Andy and Randy show.
Nice, nice.
And they just wanted to come out and hang out.
Hey, y'all.
And Kimberly won, I think, some tickets or a gift card like that. Yeah, it was a good time.
Love it, love it.
It was a very good time.
Glad you had a good time. But yeah, it's funny because I think are they the only team that's beaten the Cavs and the Celtics multiple times?
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's,
They're 7-2 against the Cavs, Celtics, and Knicks.
Unbelievable.
Now they lost to the
Knicks. Lost last night.
Yes.
Yeah, but it still sucked that they had to play that game because we know the significance of MLK and everything here in Atlanta, having to play in New York City, which sucked. But I mean, they could have played the game early. I heard Abe's show yesterday. He's right. They could have played the game early.
Yeah, they've done it before.
Yeah, they've done it before. They could have played it early before the whole national championship and everything like that. So yeah, but obviously the Hawks are it's ebb and flow. Kongu is
They listened.
Yes,
they listened out. They lost the first time they did it, but
yes.
Yeah, the story really is. I mean, they lost 119-110. Trey had a good game. Not surprisingly, Jalen Brunson went off like he often does.
Yeah.
But Onyeka Okongwu started.
Yep.
Clint Capella came off the bench and actually played pretty well. Had 12 points, 9 rebounds. But Onyeka Okongwu started the game, 14-9. Played 28 minutes. I would think that that's probably the plan going forward.
More likely.
Yeah.
I think, and you're right, because if this is a way that you're thinking about moving Clint, you got to see what this dude can do.
Mm-hmm.
You got to see, and it's one of those things where you can give him the minutes, but how does he start the game? If he's going to be our starting center, how does he start the game, and how effective is he? But Brunson, I mean, it's just crazy. It's so ugly because he's a little ass left-handed and be shooting like on the left-handed side with the defender on his arm.
Oh, I know.
And he gets it off.
He shoots a shot put.
Yeah,
every time.
And he gets it off, which is just .
And they have Campaign too.
I can't.
Who's just the hardest player to watch in the NBA.
Yes.
He's so left-handed, like he almost shoots backwards.
He's so left-handed.
He's the most left-handed.
Yes, yes.
I'm saying that's what I'm talking about when I talk about Jack, though.
Like sideways leaning.
Jack walks around, and I swear his left arm is 2 inches longer than his right.
Well, put a baseball in his damn hand.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Or a football. I don't know, whatever.
Put a damn ball in his hand and let go.
He's got a cannon. Yeah. No question about
let
that.
Let go.
Yeah, we got a little lefty. A little lefty reliever. All right, so we don't even need to play a highlight from the Hawks. The Hawks lost 119-110. The Falcons made their hire at defensive coordinator. Not a name that we mentioned, but it's certainly a name that we know.
And not surprised by
Jeff. No, I'm not surprised.
Yeah, not surprised by it.
Jeff Ulbrich, he had been the DC with the Jets. He was the interim head coach, had to deal with that crap all year. So if nothing else, nice to not be doing that anymore. But he was with the Falcons previously. He was a part of the Dan Quinn coaching staff. Mm-hmm. He was linebackers coach. He was the interim DC when Raheem got promoted to interim coach a number of years ago. And so, a guy with experience as defensive coordinator in the NFL. So there you go.
Yeah, I mean,
now you have a coach.
You think that whenever you're in a situation where Rod's in, and this is what we mentioned last week about, you know, these, because everybody wants the names and everything like that, and it's all about not saying there's nothing against Raheem, but I'm a defensive coach. He's a defensive head coach. We don't have no relationship together. How would I feel about him meddling? Or, like, you know what I'm saying? And now he has a guy who he's comfortable with.
There will be no meddling.
Who has the same type of thought process, who's his friend, who is in this, because if they don't make the playoffs next year, Ross losing his job. Mm-hmm. And Rod knows this. So I'm gonna keep myself insulated with people I trust and I don't have to worry about. And obviously, that's good. I think Ulbrich's very qualified to be the Falcons defensive coordinator. Go get him some dudes.
That's what you got to do.
You got to go get him some players.
Yeah, whether it was Jeff Ulbrich or Wink Martindale or
whoever,
or Steve Wilkes or whatever guy you wanted to be hired.
Yes. You got to go get some dudes.
Yeah. I mean, defensive coordinators succeed or fail based on who's on their defense.
Yes.
Jeff Ulbrich had some pretty damn good years in New York. You know why? They drafted defensive players and signed them too.
Yes.
They went from the worst defense in the NFL to a top five defense in the NFL.
Yes.
The first year he was a DC,
look,
you know what they did?
Who was on that roster?
They drafted Sauce Gardner in the top five.
Yes.
They took the best defensive player available.
And they had the best, maybe now, one of the best up-and-coming defensive linemen, and Quinn Wood.
Right.
Like,
they had invested in those guys,
they had,
and then
dudes.
They all grew. Now, are they going to do that here?
They better.
They better.
This offseason is about defense.
Damn right. Damn right. Thanks for being with us. This hour is brought to you by Padley. Sell your home for cash fast. PADLYBuys.com. We'll be right back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Midday show. Andy and Randy with you here on a Tuesday morning. 20 minutes away from an NFL no huddle where we will get into those four games. What a fun weekend, man. Fun to watch. Depending on who you are, some of those games weren't super fun.
Whoo, boy.
Yeah, man.
Hey, man.
Well, 89 for the Baltimore Ravens, about as trustworthy as they come in the NFL.
Dude, he is, and they have some great players at it, but as you go back to Todd, obviously Todd Heap, Shannon, I think he's the best of them all.
I think he's
the best of them all. And I love me some Todd. That's my boy. And you know how I feel about Shannon. But I think Mark Andrews is the best tight end in Ravens history.
Yep.
You talk about long off season.
I can't even imagine.
I couldn't imagine. Yeah. And I've had a game like that before, but it wasn't the chance to go to the NFC Championship game. And I remember wanted to just, you know, you want to call
was
up.
Was it the final game of the season?
No.
Oh, thank
God.
That's
what I said. Thank God. But that was like the hardest thing. You don't want to be around no kids. Your wife, like that air, like that flight back.
It just feels like it would be like a nauseous feeling.
It is.
Like, it would just kind of always be there, and then maybe if you could ignore it briefly, be like, what's that? Oh, yeah, that's the feeling of me dropping that pass.
Yeah, man.
That would have been for two to go to overtime. The other thing, too, is, and people probably know this, but maybe not, he also fumbled earlier in the half, too. Like, he doesn't do that. Huh. He put the ball on the ground. He doesn't do that.
Yep.
Like, to make those two plays, like, and I heard, I think Dan Patrick said this in regard to that football game. It's totally right. Like, if you would have just told me at halftime or the beginning of the game or whatever that this game's going to come down to Lamar Jackson making a throw to Mark Andrews,
mm-hmm.
I'd have said, damn, so the Ravens win.
Yeah.
Great. That's the exact situation they want. Like, that's been that man's security blanket his entire career.
Yes.
Like, when things are going wrong, you just throw it to him. Now, again, Lamar Jackson has transcended the need of a security blanket, but that's the guy that you throw the
football to. They were drafted together.
Yeah.
Remember, they drafted him. Did they draft two tight ends that year? They drafted him. Did they draft Max Williams, the other tight end, the redhead tight end out of Minnesota? I think they did. I think they drafted two tight ends that year.
No, Hurst. Wasn't it Hayden Hurst?
Did they draft Hurst that year?
I think so.
I think you're right. Hayden was the first round, and Mark was the third rounder.
I think that's what it was.
But, yeah, I mean, you look at, you know, those two grew together. Because you're right. When Lamar was in trouble before he was where he is now, and as far as his development as a passer, he was looking at 89. He was looking at 89. I don't care if he recovered. And he still looks small. I don't care if he recovered by three people. But, yeah, for that to happen, boy, it was this. And again, I know it's cold in places and everything. I don't care what nobody says. I don't like snow games. All right, and people are, oh, it's football weather. No, the hell it ain't. It's cold weather.
I don't want to be there. I like watching it.
I don't like watching it.
Oh,
I like watching perfect condition football. That's me.
Less mistakes.
I like doing it. I like playing it. I ain't like playing no damn snow.
Well, yeah, of course
you not. Ain't no damn kid.
No, of course you don't. No, no,
hitting
snow.
A grown ass man with frozen fingertips and stuff. That sucks.
Sounds terrible.
It does. It sucks.
I think that's part of it though. Like you're gonna hate this, but I think that's part of it for fans a little bit. It's like the more it sucks for you guys, like the more enjoyable it is. You know what I mean? Like, oh, that looks like painful. Yeah. While I'm sitting on my couch drinking a beer, having some chips.
Yeah, it sucks.
I'm comfortable. Those guys look miserable.
Yeah, don't ever let everybody fool you on that. Oh, it's so great. This football.
No, I think everyone knows.
I don't want to be cold. That damn wind chill.
No, I think we know it. Yeah. Sucks. I think that's part of the enjoyment.
Y'all ass in the house.
It's like, yeah, good. Look at how much this sucks for these guys.
But it was so crazy because I saw they were showing this woman had put a vicious a Bills fan. They showed a video of her getting ready before this game to go to the game up there. And like all that, like, I'm like, that's how you're supposed to dress if you're going to an outdoor football game. And then you see dudes out there. I saw a video of Matt Collins barefooted with some swim trunks on. Like, why do you do that?
Attention.
Obviously so.
That's why.
Obviously so. Attention. You want attention and everything like that. Attention. But damn.
Brand.
I mean, damn.
Branding.
But usually when you brand them, what you want, foot soles? Yeah, no. You know what I mean? Like, you don't wear shoes, so you can't get a shoe brand.
Yeah, his brand is no endorsers.
Yeah.
Because it's no clothes.
Yeah, you don't wear no clothes and no shoes, so tell me what you want.
Yeah, I remember when he was here, they were like, yeah, he walks around barefoot. Yeah, he likes to, I think they call it grounding.
Do you know how Nat.
Is he any good?
And there's another,
he's a pretty good player.
But that's always, I would say things like that. Just Nat. Don't be nasty just to be nasty. Walk around barefooted if you can help it, which he can.
Yeah.
It's nasty. Who cares? I like to be barefoot, but most of the time it's at my house.
Sure.
Most of the time it's at my house.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever seen you barefoot anywhere but your house.
I'll be bad. Like, I wear flip-flops everywhere, but when I'm at your house, I keep my flip-flops on.
you could be barefoot at my house.
I know, but that's I just want to have a little respect for your home.
Fair
enough. I don't want nobody to... But if you're not spending a night at my house, I don't want you barefoot at my house.
You're sitting out there on the porch. It's 97 degrees. You got flip-flops on. You want to slide those bad boys off?
And I usually slide them off when I'm on the porch. When I'm usually over there. It's like that.
It's hot.
Yeah, it's usually like that. The only person I didn't like wear shoes was like Junior Seau. Junior never wore shoes unless it was cleats. Junior wear a suit with the thong flip flops.
Wow.
Yeah, in the snow.
Huh.
In the snow.
Well, Mac Hollins wore no shoes.
Wore no shoes.
And an open shirt and very small shorts.
Yeah, but you know,
the stadium.
We already know how the shout shops. That's just what it is. My wife liked thigh, so that's why only time I wear mine. We're going on vacation in a couple weeks. I'd have them shout ass shouts on. All that thigh crease showing. I'm back squatting again.
Yeah, you have to.
Yeah, I'm back squatting and doing the deadlifts.
Okay.
All that stuff, trying to get them things right. But I can't do it too much because I got to get them up.
Mm, yeah. Right, you don't want to get too bulky.
Yeah.
Yeah. You want to be like lean but not bulk.
Yeah, exactly.
It's tough.
It's tough.
It's a tough needle to thread.
It is. I'm on that right there.
Yeah. Well, I hope you do it.
Yeah.
I wish you well.
I saw they got Jeff Aubrey, but they haven't no D-line coach yet, right?
Not yet.
I think that's what okay, no
not
D-line
yet.
Coach.
Not yet.
But yeah, we just thought like when they have the combine next month, right? Don't even go. Don't send no offensive staff to the offensive part of the combine.
Don't talk to any
don't
of them.
Don't talk to any because, of the, none
because,
of them.
Because here's why.
No.
Because you can't help yourself.
Yes.
They can't help themselves.
That's why I said that.
They get infatuated.
Yeah.
And again, the offensive picks that they've made early have actually been the good picks that they've made outside of Kyle Pitts. But the other three picks they made in the first round, thank God they did.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, they'd all be fired.
Yes.
If they didn't have Bijan Robinson, Drake London, and Michael Penix
they'd
all be fired.
Yes.
That's the only thing. We talked about this the day after the season ended. If I'm Terry Fontenot and I'm sitting in Arthur Blank's office and Arthur Blank says, all right, make the case.
Yep.
That's the case.
Yes.
Those three guys are the case. That's what it is. So thank God they drafted those guys. Otherwise, I mean, you know, now, ultimately, I don't think anyone cares that much who's in charge. We just want the team to be good. And had they drafted other guys, maybe the team would be better than they are right now. Who knows? They did what they've done, and we are where we are. And Jeff Ulbricht is the next defensive coordinator. I saw some Falcons fans were upset about that because of the familiarity with Raheem.
Right.
Sort of like a comfort hire and stuff like that. I understand the sentiment on that one. You hire who's in your circle. You hire who's in your tree.
Yeah.
I suppose he could have gone out and gotten, you know, some of those other names we talked about that were, I guess, a little older, a bit more veteran, whatever. I prefer this, the hire of Jeff Ulbricht, to a first-time defensive coordinator.
Definitely.
Some of the other guys that we talked about, I don't remember the names, but you remember some of the guys that they had interviewed, because that to me felt like more of a Raheem's in charge and you're just kind of helping.
Mm-hmm.
This is a guy who's been a defensive coordinator before.
Yes.
Obviously, they've worked together for a long time. If it doesn't work out, everyone's going to say it was because it was the safe hire, blah, blah, blah. Ultimately, back to the original point, we're going to say it 1,000 times throughout this entire offseason, you could hire anyone at defensive coordinator. Mm-hmm. If you don't get better players on defense, it's not going to matter at all.
And no, and right, but it is a safe hire. It's a safe because you know what you're getting in Jeff Ulbrich. You know what I mean?
But there's an argument for that.
The people are arguing against that?
No, no, no. You're saying that there's a reason to do that, and it's a good reason.
Yeah. I don't understand the bad reason. Take away the names. Take the Wink Martindales and the Robert Salas and all those different things. These guys are – I understand that because you got the name value and all those different things. But Ryan probably never worked with them. He's worked with this guy right here, you know. And so when you look at it from a standpoint of who I'm comfortable with, like I don't know – because I thought about this 2 years ago. When Ryan Nielsen was here. And, like, Ryan Nielsen, it was his first time being the coordinator because he was a D-line coach or whatever in the Saints forever. And, obviously, Terry knew him and all those different things.
But Arthur did. Yeah.
You know? And so then you look at it from the standpoint, Terry knows him, but Rod doesn't.
Right.
You know? Because I think if Rod probably knew him, Nielsen would probably still be here. He probably would retain him. But I don't know you. I'm not comfortable with you. And I think, I promise you, if Jeff Ulbrich wasn't on the Jets staff, he would have been the defensive coordinator here before Jimmy Ray. Mm. I do believe that. I do believe that if Ulbrich was not on staff with the Jets as their DC, he would have been the DC here when Rod got the job.
He would have already been a part of that, that staff because he had already been in the group that came from Los Angeles because they worked together again. If you don't know Ulbrich's past, he was the Falcons linebackers coach from 15 to 19. He was UCLA's linebackers coach and special teams coordinator from 12 to 14, and him leaving UCLA
got us Roquan Smith
is actually one of the best things that ever happened to the Georgia Bulldogs because Ulbrich, I guess, was integral in the recruitment of Roquan.
Yes, he had him. Roquan changed on the day of he had the
UCLA. So he was going to UCLA because of Ulbrich.
He had the gloves and everything. And then Ulbrich got the job that I think.
Where's Roquan from?
South Georgia, down there in Millersville. Not Millersville, but down in Marshallville. Down there where I'm from.
All right.
Down that way.
All right, fair enough.
But
anyway, so he ended up going to Georgia because Ulbrich came to the Falcons.
Montezuma, down there where I'm from. Down there, Macon County. Down in that country.
Roquan went on to be the best, if not the best, one of the two or three best linebackers that Georgia's ever had.
Yes.
And then, Ulbrich was on that, that staff.
Yeah, but I think
15 to staff is.
Yes, but he is verified. First of all, he's qualified. That's the thing.
He's been a defensive
coordinator in the league before.
Jimmy Lake had never been a defensive coordinator in the NFL before. I don't even know what Jimmy Lake. He had been on the staff in Los Angeles with Raheem. Other than that, he didn't really have any pro football experience. Right. He had mostly just been a college coach. This is a lifer. I mean, he was with the Seahawks back in 2010, played for the 49ers for 10 years, beginning of from 2009. Was here, then he was in New York. By the way, the Jets defense improved drastically under Jeff Ulbrich. Because they drafted and invested on defense, early draft picks and free agents. And then he was the interim coach in New York this year. So at some point we can ask him how that was.
I mean, I'm curious to know what they're going to do because, reading this earlier this morning, they're not going to let Aaron Glenn out of the building.
Okay.
As far as him being their head coach, I think Aaron Glenn is going to get one of these jobs. I do believe that. We know Ben Johnson was hired yesterday by Chicago. Surprised me. I just thought he was going to go to Oakland. I mean, to Vegas. Mm. I did. But
the Brady factor?
Yeah, Chicago got their guy. Mm-hmm. Said he didn't want to go to the Jets. I mean, the Jaguars because of the structure. No, he don't want to go there because Trent Baalke's there. And it's
the structure.
Yeah, the structure. you don't want to be around that guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so it's unfortunate, but that's, you always got to be conscious of when you hire a guy or leave a guy in place that other people don't want to work with him. People don't like Trent Baalke. I know they say it's 1-32, which it is.
Yeah.
People don't want to work with him.
He's been a general manager for 10 years between Jacksonville and San Francisco. He's had 6 different head coaches.
Yeah. People don't want to work
with
him.
That's insane.
Yeah.
At a certain point, and this would be incumbent on that owner figuring this out, at a certain point you have to realize what the problem is.
Yes.
It's him. He's the problem. He used to, when he was the general manager of the 49ers, he would sit in the press box. Like, they would get him, like, a section of the press box.
Uh-huh.
And he would cheer loudly and pound on the table and just be a total.
Really?
Yeah. It was like, oh, cool. Trent Baalke's here.
Really?
This is fun.
Oh.
Yeah. So he even did that.
What a dork.
Not even the media likes Trent Baalke.
Yeah. I mean, what a dork. But, it's 1-32. Somebody's going to take the damn job. Mm-hmm. The biggest thing about that is, that job down there, anyways, is Trevor Lawrence. Do you think Trevor Lawrence broke?
No.
I don't think he is either. He's a broke. I don't think he's broke or anything. I think he's got to play better, and you got to play better around him. Like, Can he elevate this franchise to new heights? Probably not.
I don't know.
But I think that he can put them in position because he took them to the playoffs already.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I might be – I'm probably going to take longer for me to give up on Trevor Lawrence.
Right.
Just because you saw him be so good for so long in college. Like, he's just one of the best college quarterbacks we've ever seen. Like, from immediate – as a freshman when he finally got that job midway through the season. What did he lose? One game?
Yep.
Like zero regular season games?
It was awesome.
And two games his whole time that he was in college?
And he lost that one game to Joe Burrow and him.
Right.
And then,
I don't know. Again, college, it's not always the same. Yeah. Sometimes great college quarterbacks. But I just feel like we've seen flashes of it in the NFL. I think he's going to be fine. They just have to get the right players and coaches, and I don't know. Maybe I'm making excuses for a guy who's got a $275 million contract, and he should be the one that elevates everyone around him.
I mean,
if you got that kind of contract and you're the number one overall pick, maybe it's not everyone else's problem. Maybe it's yours.
That's what they pay you to do. That's what you pay you to do. But yeah, and then I think that in general, all NFL head coaching hires should be done after the Super Bowl. What are you going to lose? Because you really can't, if you hire whatever, you really can't do much as far as the personnel and all those things. I just think, you should be able, they should just wait till afterwards.
Yeah, like what would be lost?
What would be lost?
Beside the headlines. I mean, they love dominating the news cycle. But what would be lost in terms of season preparation?
I don't know.
You can't interview these guys until, what's the Super Bowl? February what? Something? Mid-February? Yeah. So then
what are they lying for? The combine? The combine's not too later on in February.
Combine's not then. Draft isn't until April.
Yeah.
The league year doesn't start until what?
Mid-March.
At some point. Yeah. So you could do it, but they love.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, this is.
They just, love the drama.
Because ain't no games played during the week.
Oh, exactly.
But the coaches are being
coaching carousel gets as much coverage as it. Like Deion Sanders to the Cowboys, which isn't even going to happen,
right,
is probably the most clicked whatever thing of 2025 so far.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So that's why. They'll never change it.
Yeah, Deion snowboarding in Dallas.
Is he snowboarding? Can he snowboard with that foot?
With that foot. Snowmobiling, I'm sorry.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah,
snowmobiling. That's a good idea. That seems safer. Let's play it safe. All right, we'll come back. We'll get you an NFL No Huddle. We'll talk about the games from over the weekend. Four good ones. Don't go anywhere. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.